Well, dear friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus the Christ. Last week we heard the story of the law-abiding rich man who went away empty because he could not bear the thought of giving up his possessions, helping the poor, and commit to following Jesus. Today's text, we meet Zacchaeus, also a rich man due to the fact that he's been the chief tax collector for the Roman government, and he's been making it his habit to tax, not only tax, but overtax and swindle his fellow Jews. But for Zacchaeus, we know that the story has a much different ending than it did for the rich ruler. This is one of those stories in the Bible that is so full of color and action. I wish I could have been there to be a part of that day, to actually see it in person. If there ever was a movie to be made of this story, more than a few people have said that the part of Zacchaeus would have to be played by Danny DeVito. Remember that television show, Taxi? DeVito, very short in stature, was the merciless, gruff, and cynical owner of the New York Taxi Company. And even though he was so gruff and hard-hearted on the outside, I think deep down, he had a heart. Well, I have yet another image of Zacchaeus. In the small town where I grew up, when the carnival came to town each and every August, we, the citizens, the business owners, and children were warned to beware of the people who came and worked with the carnival. Carnies, they were called, or carny rats, gypsies who would pick pockets, steal without you even knowing it, and maybe even take your children. That's what we were told. The women could be recognized by their loud, flashy jewelry, colorful clothing, and the men by their dark, slicked back hair, weathered skin, and their little beady eyes. Kind of put a damper on the whole wholesome, anticipated fun of the county fair. Nevertheless, we had been warned. So I should not have been surprised when one late summer evening there was a knock on my family's apartment door. Not being able to see who was on the outside and forgetting that warning, I simply flung open the door as usual, waiting to greet someone. But there, to my surprise, was a man no taller than myself, a person with very weathered, wrinkled skin, with wavy, slicked back hair, missing teeth, and smoking a cigarette. Horrified, I took one look at him, heard him mumble something that I could not understand, and I quickly slammed the door, locked it, and went screaming to my mother, "Mom, there's a carny rat at the door!" Zacchaeus must have been used to similar reactions, people calling him names and slamming doors in his face. In fact, they did. They called him sinner. They grumbled and they muttered and they pointed, incensed, that Jesus would dare enter his house and share a meal with such kind man as him. This unclean, shady, sinful, corrupt extortionist. Of all the people Jesus could have dined with, why him? Because Jesus came to save the lost. That's why. And of course, anyone in the crowd that day would have qualified to dine with Jesus. Sinners all are we, even though they, and I would say oftentimes we, don't see ourselves as such. But Jesus loved Zacchaeus, and he wanted to spend time with him. Jesus knew what he was going through. And you see, I think Zacchaeus knew that he had hit rock bottom. His life may have looked good and shiny and bright and wonderful on the outside, given that he was rich. But I think inside, in his heart, he was as lonely and as miserable as he could be. Despised and rejected by most, there had to be more to life than amassing material wealth, especially at the expense of others. Zacchaeus was discovering that life was about relationships, not riches, and he knew that he was bankrupt in that area. So on that day when he heard Jesus was going to be passing by and having nowhere to go but up, Zacchaeus found the courage to make his way around the crowds that tried to prevent him from seeing Jesus, the one whom he had heard mingled with tax collectors and sinners and worked miracles besides. So right then and there, Zacchaeus shimmied up that sycamore tree like a monkey spotting a bunch of bananas and hung out on the limb with the best view. And there, he waited, and he waited to see Jesus. The beauty of the story is that just as Zacchaeus was waiting to see Jesus, Jesus knew exactly where to find Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus," Jesus said, looking up at him, "hurry and come down right now, for I must stay at your house today." And with those few words, Jesus began to change Zacchaeus' life and his heart. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, and with that acknowledgement, Zacchaeus realizes that he is someone worthy of a real name, not just tax collector or sinner. Jesus accepts Zacchaeus just right where he is, knowing that he is a sinner in need of God's mercy and love and grace. Jesus affectionately and lovingly calls Zacchaeus to come down from that tree and invites himself to his house. No doubt that was a rare occasion, or maybe it was the first time that anyone ever wanted to go to Zacchaeus' house. People stayed clear of him. They ran for miles to stay away from him, but not Jesus. Jesus affirms Zacchaeus' inheritance and place in God's house. Today, he says, salvation has come to your house because you too, Zacchaeus, you are a son of Abraham. And you can only imagine what that did to Zacchaeus on the inside, hearing those words, probably for the first time. It is only then, after having encountered the living Christ, that Zacchaeus does experience a change of heart. It is through the eyes and the heart of Jesus that Zacchaeus is able to see himself with new eyes for the person he is, a child of God, loved, accepted, acknowledged, affirmed, and forgiven, with a new purpose and a new meaning in life. The positive effects of one changed life, of one who has repented, has ripple effects on others, and one by one, the kingdom of God comes ever nearer. For Zacchaeus, being in the presence of Jesus brings forth results. "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much," four times. A changed self-image brings about a changed heart, a changed life, and that life begins to change others. Zacchaeus did not let his short stature, the crowd, nor their ridicule, name-calling, and exclusion stop him from breaking through to see Jesus. He courageously broke through each one, as hard as that had to be, even if it literally meant climbing out on a limb. So what prevents us from doing the same? What barriers keep us, threaten us to live in the light of God's mercy and grace and love? Other gods? False gods? Money, prestige, status? Climbing your way to the top? Others' opinions of us, defining us, telling us who we are and what we are and what we are capable or not capable of doing? Fears that we are not worthy enough, good enough, smart enough, holy enough. The list goes on and on. Fear that we can't let go of all that is holding us back, that we are stuck in the same old rut, whether that rut is a job or a relationship or anything else. God knows we're not perfect and that we do struggle in life, that from time to time we do feel lost, and we are lost. But God also loves us unconditionally, and God says, "Here, have my son, let us help you. Together, let's work on this. I promise to be with you always. And to see you, whatever it is you're going through, trust me, I know." When Jesus sees with the eyes of his heart, We cannot help but see ourselves and others with more love, compassion, and even forgiveness. It's the way God works. The person who knocked on my door, the one who was not let in, but instead had the door slammed in his face, the one whom I called carny rat and went screaming to my mother, turned out to be my Uncle Stanley. Surprise! He went by the name of Chubb, and I don't know how he got that name, because he certainly wasn't chubby. He was small and scrawny and thin. The story goes that Uncle Chubb arrived at my house because he needed a place to stay. He was out of work and had nowhere to go, and he also knew where to find his sister, my mother, and was confident that she and my dad would help him out. And they did. But that doesn't mean Uncle Chubb changed his ways. He didn't. He stole checks from them, forged my father's name, used my mother's good name to validate his identity, drank my sister's expensive scotch and replaced it with vinegar, thinking she wouldn't know. I could tell you Uncle Chubb's stories all day long. But like Zacchaeus, people didn't care much for Uncle Chubb, and it didn't take long for them to get his number, know him well, and soon, once again, he had worn out his welcome, burned too many bridges, and had to move on. He was literally kicked out of town. My mother didn't hear from him for years, but when she did, it appeared that Uncle Chubb had changed his ways. In a letter, he told her how he had fallen in love with a woman named Alice, married her, and had been living in a small Iowa town, and finally, despite health issues, was content in life. He apologized for all of the trouble that he had caused my family and hoped that he could be forgiven. It must have taken a lot of courage for Uncle Chubb to write that letter and for my mother to offer him forgiveness. And I, too, had to seek forgiveness for how I had treated him. It took Jesus more courage than we can ever imagine to come down and walk the way of the cross to save the lost. But that was his mission, and no one or nothing would get in his way and stop him. Zacchaeus, Uncle Chubb, tax collectors, the rich and the wealthy, the poor and the downtrodden, carny rats, and each one of us, sinners and saints, children of Abraham, salvation has come to us and for us because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, today and on all days. To God be the glory. Amen.